Giving your parents the respect they deserve. Honor your father and mother. Humor is an important part of family dynamics. And we had the privilege, Thanksgiving weekend, to have 7 university students and our married kids from Medicine Hat coming, and so that Friday night was a zoo. Our house was rolling with laughter till 2 in the morning. It was just, you know, there's an old plaque that, you know, you used to say, the family that prays together stays together. I think the family that laughs together, love to get together. You know, way past when you're married, you just want to come back together. The dynamics just keep going and growing. And so laughter has been a very important part of our family dynamics. Having said that, one Canadian comedian that, well, I don't know if he's Canadian, but anyway, one comedian that I kind of enjoy listening to once in a while, you had to clog your ears to what he said, but Rodney Dangerfield. He had a wit about him so sharp that I really liked. He made a living making fun of himself and the difficulty he had getting respect. One of his one-liners was always, a little bit of respect, please. And here are some of his Rodney Dangerfield's lines. I tell you, I got no respect from anyone. I bought a cemetery plot, and the guy said, there goes the neighborhood. My uncle's dying wish, he wanted me on his lap. He was in the electric chair. I remember I was so depressed I was going to jump out of a window from a 10th floor, so they brought a priest to talk to me. And the priest said, on your mark. My wife made me join a bridge club. I jumped next Tuesday. I could tell my parents hated me. My bath toys were a toaster and a radio. So, you know, laughter is good for the soul. And it just, there's something that just brings us together, and I just really enjoy some good humor. As we look at today's subject of honoring your parents, here's a few others that I came across. A person with 6 children is better satisfied than a person with $6 million. And the reason? The man with $6 million wants more. Yep. One of the first things one notices about any backward country is how their children obey their parents. It's hard to know just where one generation ends and the next one begins, but it's somewhere around 9 p.m. Home is the place where you can say whatever you want. Nobody listens to you anyway. And lastly, one of the great mysteries of life is how the idiot that married your daughter can be the father of the smartest grandchildren in the world. Yep. I still remember 1994 when the United Nations declared that as the International Year of the Family. And a lot of brochures and pamphlets were all throughout our country and our communities as we were told to celebrate the uniqueness and the role that family has in our lives. And that is universal. All of us grew in some sort of a family setting. Might have been very broken, but there was always some sort of a setting we grew up in that we sort of called family. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. The word for honor, the Hebrew word kavod, means to be heavy, to give weight to. And when you kind of roll your eyes and go, oh, there goes Dad again, you're not exactly being heavy, giving honor to your parent. It means to be heavy or to revere. It may be a bit of a double-sided meaning the word, because sometimes to honor is a very heavy responsibility that's hard to do. Some people find it very hard to honor their mom or dad because there was not much to honor. But the Bible says it doesn't say honor your parents because they're good. It doesn't say honor your parents because they treated you well. It doesn't say honor your parents because they raised you well. Because some of you maybe grew up in a home where your parents weren't honorable. How can you honor a mom or a dad when they're not honorable? How can you honor something or someone that's broken? And then God says, honor them? Someone has said that love is natural impulse, but honor is a moral choice. You may have to make a moral decision to give weight to a parent, even though there's been brokenness in that relationship. In that case, you need to hear this illustration. It comes from Kathy Miller, who has a book on the Ten Commandments. And she talks about having interviewed a U.S. Secret Service agent. And she asked him, or said to him, well, it must be hard for you to protect someone whom you might not respect. After all, you're dedicated to give your life for such a person. And the Secret Service agent replied, quote, we don't protect the person, we protect the position. Regardless of who is in the position, we are committed and trained to offer our lives for his or her safety, regardless how we feel about them. It has nothing to do how you feel about them. It's how you feel about the position. Well, God wants us to also not honor their position, but honor them. But I'm just saying, if you find it difficult to honor a parent because there's been very little to honor them about, there is something to honor them for. The position that they had as a parent. Let's face it. Now, let's not get too personal, bodily kind of stuff, but how many of you have a belly button? Okay. Most of you have, a few don't. I don't know how you got here. All you got to do is look at your belly button and realize, you know what, I didn't just get here. Someone gave birth to me. And I honor the position of someone who conceived and gave birth to me. That in itself is worthy of honor. If you can't find any other reason to give honor to your parent, just look at your belly button and say, at least I was born. I was nurtured. I was given life. I was brought to the world. Well, honor your father and your mother. Two quick observations. It comes directly after the commands of how to honor God. We have just spent 4 Sundays looking at how to honor God. Shifting now our responsibilities to our community. The first thing God does is he focuses on our family and the dynamics between children and parents. Here's the other observation. The penalty for breaking this commandment, for breaking the commandment, honor your father and your mother, the penalty is the same as the penalty for cursing God. Now, listen to Leviticus chapter 24. Here's what we read. Leviticus 24, verse 15 and 16. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. And anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. Can you imagine how many people would be living today if they were killed the moment they swore? Use God's name in vain. God said, you find someone using God's name in vain, they have to die. I'll tell you, it'd be a lonely planet. But that was the honor and the respect God had developed in his people, the Israelites. There was respect for God. Now, listen to chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. Aren't you glad we live in the New Testament, not the Old Testament? I'd be doing a lot of funerals. I'd be a busy man. There is a lot of disrespect a lot of cursing of parents going on in our culture by their kids. Not that we ourselves didn't under our own breath. But all of us in some way are guilty of disrespect and dishonor to our parents. And God takes that very, very seriously. Now, question. Why do we honor our parents? Well, I already gave you the belly button illustration. Let me give you a few more. Number one, they symbolize authority. They symbolize authority. And that's a position they have from God. They were put there to have authority over you as a child. Now, authority is falling on hard times nowadays. We're more into psychology than authority. There's a little boy whose mother was a child psychologist, and she had her own concept of authority, sort of your lilies and perfume kind of authority. And it was all just psychology. And so one morning when her son wouldn't eat his breakfast, she tried all kinds of sweet talk techniques. But he just looked at her with a spoiled sneer, and he said, "Motivate me." That's what we're raising nowadays. You can't do anything as a teacher in school. You can't exercise any authority. The kid can just sit there and say, "Motivate me. Try me." Whatever. There is very little respect for authority. And that authority, or a lack of authority, began in the home. If there's authority in the home, there will be respect for authority outside the home. If there's little respect for authority in the home, it'll only be worse outside the home. It starts in the home. That's where you get it from. Your whole concept of authority comes from home. Secondly, you honor your parents because of their seniority. Parents have been through the storms of life. And believe it or not, parents actually know something about life. Now, it'll dawn on our kids someday that we actually know something. But we've developed a certain amount of common sense. And when you're first 4 years old, mommy and daddy can do anything. When you're 6 years old, my daddy can beat your daddy. You know, you have that whole, schoolyard talk. And then you get to about 10 years old, and you're a little frustrated with mom and dad, and you talk to each other and say, "Oh, man, parents, I'll tell you." By the time you're 12, parents know practically nothing. By the time you're 17, your parents know absolutely nothing. When you're 22, suddenly your parents have learned a few things. And by the time you're 30, almost everything you do now, I've got to talk to mom and dad first. And it's just a full cycle. But there's that short window where young people go through questioning authority and questioning common sense, and they just don't quite get it. A good example of knowledge without wisdom is Bob Rae, who is now in the Federal Liberal Party. I'm not saying because he's liberal or whatever. Excuse me. Okay, I'm not going there. When he was younger, he was an NDP provincial premier for Ontario. And as a young intellectual, he's going to turn Ontario around and just make it a shining star in Canada. Well, he totally messed Ontario up so bad, it took years of conservative government to turn that around. Young, intellectual, but he had no wisdom. He had no wisdom. And he admits he made mistakes. But folks, isn't that true of all of us? There's a time when we knew a lot, but we had no wisdom. Parents have that seniority of common sense. Thirdly, we honor our parents because of the heritage, their heritage, the things that they passed on to us. And I'll share something about that in a minute. And also because of love. Our security, the love that was given to us, came first of all from our parents. Now, I want to elaborate on that a little bit. I had in my file, I'd photocopied a page of a book that I had read some years ago. I don't know who wrote it, so whoever wrote it, thank you. But here's just a few comments this writer had written about the importance of family dynamics. Five essential marks of humanness that are best communicated to us in families. Five essential marks of humanness that are best communicated to us in family life. First of all, is language. Who taught you how to talk? Your friends down the street? Your mom and dad. What's the first word that came out of your mouth as a little kid? No. Okay, well, the sermon is for you. No, pretty close. No. I was aiming for mother. Mama, ma, or dada. Do you know that the M sound is the most common sound of babies around the world? Almost every language, the word for mother in that language starts with the M sound. So, I, for example, in German, Mutter, mother. And I think in most languages, the word for mother starts with an M sound. And so, you get your language from mom, from dad. They give you language. Why did you speak German? Because they spoke German. Why did you speak English? Well, they spoke English. Why did you speak Korean? Well, they spoke Korean. You got your language from your parents. Culture. Who taught you to enjoy Nefla? Who taught you to enjoy pierogies? Who taught you to enjoy sauerkraut? Sauerkraut. Oh. Who taught you to enjoy liver? Folks, who taught you to enjoy kuchen? It came out of a family. It's what mom and dad baked. It's what they made. That's where your identity came from. Your culture came from your parents. My oldest son married an American Swedish gal from Minnesota. And she's very proud of her Swedish background, and her grandparents keep flying to Sweden to see the old country and stuff like that. And so when our first granddaughter was born, they named her Annika because Annika is a good Swedish name in Sweden. And so she is given Annika to honor her heritage. Her mom is Swedish. Now, hopefully, one of these days, they'll give us a grandson. And if the Lord will do that, they plan to name him Dietrich for his German Mennonite heritage. That's a good old German name, Dietrich Hildebrandt. That's, wow, sounds like a theologian. Anyway, okay. You get your culture from your parents. Thirdly, convictions, meaning of life. Where do you get it from? You get it from your mom and dad. You develop boundaries, belief systems, values, habits. Where did it come from? I have a certain walk. You get my oldest son walking beside me. He has the same kind of walk. Just like me. He got it from dad. All of us have things about us that came from our parents. All the habits, the responsibilities, all our convictions. A lot of them had their soul, the seed of them, from the parents. Fourthly, it's faith. Why are you Catholic? Well, my parents were Catholic. Why are you Lutheran? Well, my parents were Lutheran. Well, why are you Baptist? Well, my parents were Baptist. We inherit so much from our parents. And as parents, we have such a huge responsibility to pass on to our children. Faith convictions. How we worship. How we deal with disappointment. How we deal with death. All those views come to us initially from our parents. And also, the love language? We learn it from our parents. The give and the take between parents and kids, the give and take between siblings, it was all taught in the home. And so we honor our parents because authority, seniority, our heritage, and our love that came from them. Particularly language, culture, meaning, faith, love, all those things come from parents. So, we talked about the why. Here's the how. How do we honor our parents? Well, the most obvious, because the Bible does not say in Exodus, obey your parents, it says honor them. But in honor is a subsection in the scriptures where it says obey your parents. So for those who are children, one of the ways of honoring is to obey. We had an interesting experience this spring. Our youngest son got married. And at the wedding reception, when you sort of at the end, and you know the mom and dad get up and they welcome their new in-law into their family, and you know, you say all those nice things. So when my son's father-in-law gets up, of course they're Korean. He gets up and he welcomes Caleb into his family. And then he reads from the scriptures and it says, children, obey your parents. You see, in that culture, your obedience carries on even after you're married. Now, I don't think he expects the same obedience as a 12-year-old. But we found it very interesting. That's the scripture he read to his new son-in-law. Obey your parents. You go to African tribes, and what do you got? You got people who are in their 30s and 40s still obeying their parents who are in their 70s. That obedience carries on in that culture because whoever is the oldest is the authority. And you obey them if they are over you. Now, how do we deal with that? When does your obedience quit? You say, well, basically when you're old enough. Scripturally, at least I can point to Genesis 2, and I think I can give you a scriptural argument to say, well, your obedience to your parents, not your honor, but your obedience quits when you marry. When it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife and become one flesh. When it says, a man will leave, he doesn't leave physically. In that culture, if you were a boy on the farm, you stayed at home. You married, you went and got a bride, brought the bride home, and you continued to live under dad's roof. Because now, you were continuing to carry on the family farm. You never left the farm. You stayed on the same farm. You never left your parents, physically. But, when you took on a wife and brought her to the farmyard, you left your parents emotionally and socially and relationally. Something breaks because now you have a new covenant relationship with your wife. And that word for cling, when you leave and you cling to your wife, that word for cling is often used in a covenant relationship. If you use that, study that word, how it's used in the Old Testament, it's often linked with establishing a new covenant. You're clinging to a new agreement. So when a man leaves his father, he clings to and establishes a new relationship, and he no longer is under the obedience order of the parents, but he still, of course, has to honor the parents. Thought I'd just throw that in there. Four reasons for children honoring their parents. Of course, Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. So first of all, it's the right thing to do. Secondly, it pleases God, because Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Thirdly, it leads to a long life. You will notice in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. He says you will live longer. You know, how does that work? well, there will be less conflict in your life. You'll have more inner peace and less anxiety. You'll be free from damaging hang-ups if you honor your parents. There's a lot of reasons why it will increase your health. If you aren't full of tension and anger and frustration, it will ensure your longevity to that degree. And also, honoring your parents ensures good success, because in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you." That it may go well with you. We got a phone call this week. And it was our youngest son, who just got married. He's a last year university as an engineering student. And my wife answered the phone, and he says, "Is Dad there? I need to talk to you together." I immediately go, "Oh, okay." Anytime parents are asked to be on the phone at the same time, and they have something to tell you, you go, "Okay, what is it?" So, you know, we chat a little bit, and then he says, "Now, the real reason why I want you on the phone, I want to tell you what happened today." He works 3 evenings a week for ATCO Gas Pipelines in Edmonton. So there's 3 afternoons a week where he has no class in university, and so he has a part-time job. He's married now, so he's got to, you know, pay rent and all those sort of things. So he's in his office, in his cubicle, and suddenly 2 men show up. The head of their department in Calgary and from Edmonton show up, sit down, talk with him a little bit, and suddenly they give him an envelope. He opens up the envelope, and here this young 22-year-old whippersnapper, as far as I'm concerned, is given the contract of a lifetime. They're offering to pay all his tuition and books this last year. They're offering him a contract with a dollar figure that just opens my eyeballs pretty big. I see that kind of stuff. And they saw a future in him, and they have offered him a contract with ATCO Gas for when he finishes university. It's initially just a 2-year contract, but it looks mighty, mighty sweet. So he's really excited. He's flabbergasted. And he says, "Dad, why does something that good happening to me? Why me?" And it just so happens that I was preparing my sermon for "Honor Your Father and Mother, That May Go Well With You." So I'm going, "Well..." I said, "Son, if you will give me half your money, it will go well with you." No, I didn't. But I said, "You know, it is an interesting, Caleb." I said, "You know, you've always had a special spirit in you. You've always honored your mom and dad. You've honored your heritage. You've honored your grandparents. You've been an exceptional son, as all our kids have been. But I said, you have sown honor. And guess what? God is honoring you back. What you sow, you shall what? Reap. You sow honor, you will reap honor. You sow discipline, you will reap the effects of discipline." I said, "You have honored us. You have honored your Lord. You have served him faithfully." He's in a worship team at McKernan Baptist in Edmonton. Once in a while, he takes his turns. But he's just, he honors us. He honors the Lord. And God, for some reason, has just blessed him with this dream contract. Now, I'm not saying honor your parents and you'll get a dream contract. But I am saying honor God. And he has a way to honor you back many times over. I wish our young people could lay hold of that. Because it's true. It's true. Honor your parents that it may go well with you. Well, how do we honor our parents? Well, We honor them by obeying them. Secondly, we honor them by our attitude. By our attitude. There is such a thing as obedience only because mom and dad are bigger than I am. You know, the old adage that when I'm told to sit down, I will sit down, but on the inside I'm still standing. The dad gave his son a good spanking and said, "Son, remember, I'm doing this in love." The little boy said, "I wish I was big enough to return the favor." And there are all kinds of young people out there saying, "I'm obeying mom and dad, but only till I'm big enough to be on my own, or till I'm bigger than they are." They obey only because. But their heart really isn't in it. So, how do you honor your parents through attitude? Well, first of all, through gratitude, giving thanks. I don't have current statistics, but I think they are somewhere around $500,000. Someone has calculated that from the time a child is born until you've raised them, educated them, married them, sent them off, you probably spent somewhere around $500,000 raising a kid. I don't know how they got those figures, but anyway, must have been rich somewhere. I've raised and married off 4 kids. Anyway. Mom and dad do an awful lot for kids, for their family. A lot of sacrifice going in. Just the gratitude, just to say thanks. Thanks, dad. Thanks, mom. Goes so far. Secondly, it is in courtesy. Just to show courtesy. Don't call your dad the old man. Don't call your mom the old lady. I remember there was a time where I thought I was cool. And maybe somewhere around 17, I was coming of age and thought, well, dad's more my equal. His name is Peter. So there's a small stretch where I started calling him Popsicle Pete. I was a young man now, you know, somewhere around grade 12, and I was, you know, starting to be his equal, and why just call him dad? I mean, everybody else in the community called him Pete. And I wanted to be cool and funny, so I called him Popsicle Pete. But I have to tell you, all the way along, deep down inside, I knew something wasn't right. My dad never said anything. He just kind of smirked or grinned or smiled. I'm not quite sure what it was. Never said anything. Always very nice. And it didn't take very long till something in my spirit said, you know what, you are not giving your father the honor by calling him anything less than dad. Popsicle Pete will do. Now that didn't last very long. And it's back to dad. And there's nothing that sounds better than for a parent just to be called by their position. Mom, dad, that courtesy that is there. Also, by honesty, being honest with your parents. You honor your parents by being honest with what's going on in your life. Now, some young people would say, I would never tell my mom and dad what I'm thinking, let alone tell them what I'm doing or plan to do. And so they develop a secret life. How much more honoring would it be if you were open with your struggles and said, Mom and Dad, I really struggle with some habits, or I really struggle with some temptations. Just to be really open and upfront. And we were very blessed to have children who were very honest with us. And there were sometimes I would just kind of suck my breath and go, oh boy, here we go. Art revisited 30 years later. But you know what? It honors parents for their teenager to come and say, you know, I really struggle in this area. It gives so much honor to the parent to think that a child made themselves vulnerable, or a teenager made themselves vulnerable to their parents. And they don't know. You know, they think that they'll really get razzed for it, but you know, deep down inside, you know, the parents may faint at first, but deep down inside, they will really appreciate their child was honest. It opens up a playing field that you can't describe. You know, when you say, well, I'm going to John's tonight. Okay. So you go to John's only long enough to say you went to John's, and then you go somewhere where you really wanted to go. So you come home and your parents say, so did you go to John's? Yeah, I went to John's tonight. Did you have a good time? Yeah, I had a good time. And you never tell them what you really did. Erwin Lutzer, who was raised on a farm somewhere outside of Regina, he's now pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. I remember him sharing this illustration years ago. Raised on a farm, they had some hens that they had specifically also designated for just for hatching. And so they had some duck eggs that needed to be hatched. And this hen hadn't done her research and didn't know the difference between eggs. So they put a few duck eggs and put it underneath her, and so she's sitting on her on there, you know, trying to come up with some chickens. Well, they eventually hatched, and as soon as they were hatched, here were these little ducklings around this mother hen. She didn't seem to know the difference. She went around finding food for them and was a mother to them just like any other chickens. And one day, this hen and her children happened to be near the family pond. Well, when those little ducklings found the water, plop, one after the other, then they went. And the mother hen had an identity crisis. What are my children doing? She's clucking away, and these little children of hers are suddenly in the water. They don't belong there. She did not realize. She thought she was raising chickens. She's actually raising ducks. Some parents think they're raising chickens. They're raising, seagulls. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We honor them by giving them attention. By giving them our attention. Leviticus 19:32. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. Do you see that respect for God and respect for the elderly are in the same verse? Many people think that this command, honor your father and your mother, was actually written to the sandwich generation, to those who already are young adults but need to respect their older parents. So what do you do when you yourself are a parent but you have parents? You still honor them. You honor the aged. You respect them as you respect God. When I was pastoring in Medicine Hat, we have a lodge called Central Park Lodge in Medicine Hat. And it was amazing how many seniors in that lodge had adult children that never visited them. They were special occasions that would come and go, and their children never showed up. And some of their children lived in Medicine Hat, and they had chosen not to associate with their parents anymore. They were just people that were just sort of, well, they're there, but, you know, didn't have use for them. I don't know what it's like here in town, but imagine there's some as well. There are some very lonely seniors out there who need to be loved. We need to be honored. So, how do you give attention to older parents? If you have older parents, how do you give attention to them? Well, very quickly. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. This is pleasing to God. If you are in a position where financially you can help your parents who are financially in dire straits, your responsibility is to look after your older parents financially. It's not, first of all, the government's job. I'm not against what the government is doing, but the Bible is very clear. If you have parents or grandparents who are struggling financially, and you can help, your responsibility is to help them economically. I was very clear about that. Secondly, you can help them spiritually. I will never forget a moment I had with Rachel's grandpa Bergson. He was called Opa. We were out in the farmyard one day, and just Opa and myself were on the yard. And I don't know what we were talking about, but I still remember him saying to me something to the effect. He says, "You know, as a pastor, I know you pray for your church and, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. But," he said, "your Opa needs your prayers too." Now, he was already in his 80s. We were having this conversation. He said, "You know, as I get older, I have more fears. I have more anxiety. I think about what my life will be like. I think what my health will be like. I wonder how I will die." He said, "I have my fears." Now, he used to be a lay pastor. He's a godly man. But as he got older, age brings its own fears and problems and anxieties. And he said, "Don't forget to pray for your Opa." I'll never forget that. Don't forget to pray for your grandparents. Don't forget to pray for your parents. They have their own set of things that they worry and they go through as well. You can honor them by praying for them. Thirdly, that is socially, of course, is to visit them, as I already have mentioned. And more so, as they get older, they begin to feel more and more lonely. And my dad says, "I'm lonely all the time. And I wish I could be there. I thank God for telephone. At least I can call him every evening. It's my way of interacting with him." I read on a 60th birthday, a woman from Brooklyn, New York, decided to prepare her last will and testament. So she went to the rabbi and made two final requests. Her first request is that she be cremated. And the rabbi said, "Well, what's your second request?" Well, she says, "I want all my ashes to be scattered over Bloomingdale's." "Bloomingdale's? Why do you want all your ashes scattered over Bloomingdale's?" "Well, then I'll be sure that my daughters will visit me at least twice a week." Okay, well, those things do happen. Older people want to be visited. Grandma and grandpa want to be visited. Mom and dad want to be visited. That's how you honor them. So what results will I experience if I honor my parents? Five things. Number one, you will gain respect for aged wisdom. You'll gain respect for aged wisdom. We've got a lot of knowledge nowadays, but not a lot of wisdom. Dr. Laura Schlesinger said this: "We must re-endow our elderly with the respect they deserve, to see them as national treasures rather than national relics." They're not relics. They're treasures. So you gain respect for wisdom. Secondly, you will enhance your relationship with your parents. They will be your best friends. Thirdly, you will learn to appreciate your traditions and your history. You'll understand your identity. Fourthly, you will experience spiritual growth. I don't have time, but Ephesians 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents." Then in verse 8, it says, "For the Lord will reward you." If you will do what is right, God will reward you. You will grow spiritually in the Lord. And fifthly, you will lay a foundation for the relationship that your children will have with you someday. The way you treat your parents is the way your children will treat their parents. Right? Do you want to be treated by your parents one day the way you're treating your parents right now? Your parents being treated by you. Remember years ago, there was a TV vignette. My grandfather, my father, and a small son. So you got grandfather, son, and grandson. And it shows them sitting at a table. And the grandfather is old and his hands are shaky. And he drops a china cup and the cup breaks. Well, then his son, who's in his latter 40s or about 50-ish, is all upset that, you know, grandpa, you know, is old and shaky and can't hold a cup. So he banishes the old man to his room and gives him a wooden bowl and says, there, you can drop that. A few days later, he's walking outside and he watches as he sees his young son carving something out of a piece of wood. He says, son, what are you doing? And his son says, dad, he says, I'm preparing a bowl for you like you prepared for your dad. What you do to your parents, one day will be done to you. What you sow, you reap. You sow honor, you will reap honor someday in your own life. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. One other way to honor your parents is to finish well yourself. To do well in life so that your parents can say, yep, that's my boy, that's my daughter, that's my girl. I remember when my boys, especially, well, baseball, football, especially in football, when they do a really good play, and of course, one of my kids was involved, I would shout out, who's your daddy? Yeah. That's my boy. That's my grandson. Yes. We honor them by doing well. And which parent or which grandparent isn't proud when their kids or grandkids do something good? We honor them by doing well ourselves. Well, what happens if you don't have parents you can honor? I want to close with this thought. What happens if you have parents you can't honor? What do I do with this command? Where do I go? Do you know there is someone waiting to be your father? That's the Heavenly Father. He said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. I will reach out to you and I will be your daddy. I'll be your father. If you will come to me, I will give you everything you need in a parent. I will parent you. I will shepherd you so you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will give you the love you never had. I'll give you the breaks you never got. I'll be your father. I'll comfort you. I'll strengthen you. I'll bless you. I will honor you. I want to close with this illustration. Those of you who are, quote, my age and older, may remember the name Ethel Waters. Anybody here remember the name Ethel Waters? They used to sing the Billy Graham Crusades. What a powerful voice she had. Ethel Waters was the result of a rape relationship. A 14-year-old girl was raped, and Ethel was conceived and born. But Ethel grew up not being wanted. She grew up being a rejected child, a rejected teenager. Ethel has been quoted as saying, every child needs at least one lap to sit on. I never had a lap to sit on. Somewhere, Ethel came to hear, know about Jesus, and gave her life to Jesus. And as she received Jesus as her personal Savior and Lord, she said this, I don't even have time to think about my past hurt. I am too busy praising my Lord. I don't have time to think about my past hurt. I'm too busy praising my Lord. That, I think, is why she always sang that song at the Billy Graham Crusades. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Because God had his eye on that little sparrow. And I want to assure you, our Heavenly Father has his eye on you. He loves you. And he wants to be your eternal Heavenly Father and be all to you that you need? Have you opened your heart to Him and said, I want you to be my Father? He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for all our hurt, all our pain, all our sin, that we could be forgiven, and that God could become that Heavenly Father you so yearn for. If you will just open your heart and say yes to Jesus, God, your Creator, will become God, your Father. Just by opening your heart, inviting Jesus to come into your heart. Take away your pain, your hurt, your loss. Take away all that artificial stuff you put in your life to cover your pain and give you life.